WBDGFM HD1, Indianapolis.
You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go!
It's going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you?
Don't
say it. No way.
You must go seize the
moment. It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Welcome in to this week 4 edition of Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm Zion Brown here on WBDG, and I'm joined by WBDG General Manager John Easter, and of course, Ben Davis Head Football Coach Jason Simmons here on Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. So we're going to get right into it, Coach. And what did you see from your team in that game against Pike, the Pike victory you were just able to get that you liked that led to the getting that first win of the season?
You know, I think when you go back and you have time to truly take a step backwards from that game, Zion, and you get into the film, whether it's Friday night, Saturday, or Sunday, I think there were a lot of positives to take away from it. You know, I told our guys at the end of the game, you know, you learn a lot about your team's character when you're put in a position to have to make two big-time plays, and we made both of them. You know, when you look at the two-point conversion that Trent threw to Jaden, through the fade ball to him in the corner of the end zone, we had to have that two-point conversion. We don't get that two-point conversion, we're not talking about beating Pike right now. And then, you know, conversely, we made the stop on their two-point conversion. And so you get into situations like that, you get into game situations, and you never know, you know, that old cliche that there's 4 or 5 plays that are going to determine the outcome of the game. And, you know, those two plays certainly helped determine the outcome of the game, and we were fortunate enough to make them. And, you know, we had a lot of people contribute on those plays too. I think that's the important thing to note. And then you also have to be honest with yourself. It's great to, you know, to get out of that game with a win. You know, we're 1-0 in the MIC conference, but we also have to be realistic enough with ourselves to say we still have plenty to clean up and get better at. And so, you know, for us, I think the challenge was to come in on Friday, be honest. You know, we made enough in the game. But there's also some key areas that we got to continue to grow and get better at heading into to our game this Friday with Center Grove.
Coach, anytime you look at a stat sheet and you see over 300 yards rushing, that means a lot of good things happen for the Giants in the run game. So talk a little bit about that in this contest.
You know, it felt like the run game was going to be really important for us. You know, we talked last week about getting our offensive line going. Felt like that was going to be really critical for us. You know, we've lost 2 starters in the first 2 weeks of the season. And so the work that we put into those guys during the week, you know, certainly paid off. You know, we played 6 offensive linemen as compared to 9 the week before versus Avon. And it's easy to sit and talk about the offensive line. And, you know, Wayne Vaughn at center played his best game of the year. Started Keelan Davis, got his first varsity start on Friday and graded out really well. At the quick tackle spot for us, we have an anchor in Andrew Zulu. You know, he started at a third different position. You know, and when you look at his varsity career, you know, he started 13 games now, 10 of them at center, 2 of them at tackle, 1 at guard. And so, you know, he's a guy for us that has really truly become the leader of that group and the anchor. But none of our run game happens. And it's easy to say, well, you ran for 300 yards, your offensive line played well. And I'll tell you, the group that took a great deal of pride in our run game was our perimeter guys. Whether it was our running backs blocking for our quarterback or it was our wideouts blocking for either one of those guys carrying the ball, you know, we put a great deal of pride into blocking in space. And you talk to Coach Stu, our wide receivers coach, Coach Hessian, you know, our wide receivers are putting in work and practice too in the run game. And so it's not just, you know, they don't go out there and just catch balls all day. And that group did a nice job blocking on the perimeter, allowed us to take a 8-yard run and make it an 18-yard run. Excuse me. So, you know, it was a collective effort for us offensively to run for over 300 yards. And, you know, when you look at that game, you go back and look at it. Our mantra going into it was we have to be willing to take what they give us. And our offensive line and our run game got challenged the season, and we didn't always take advantage of it. You know, we had to go into that game and be willing to take what they were going to give us. And we had to challenge our offensive line to go get our run game jump started, and felt like they answered the bell with it on Friday.
So you talked about how there are still several things that the team can clean up. Can you elaborate on just what sort of things those are and what area those things are in?
Yeah, pretty easy. If you go talk to our guys right now, they're probably going to be able to rattle them off too. We had dumb penalties. That was first and foremost for me. You know, we had four 15-yard penalties in the from the last play of the third quarter through the fourth quarter. Those are completely inexcusable. You know, three of those were penalties that should never happen for us, and we're working to get that situation fixed right now. Our guys are going to tell you we can't turn the ball over, and our guys are going to tell you we got to quit giving up big plays in the passing game. And you look across the board, you look in all three games for us right now. We feel like we've had a critical interception early in the game that has kind of taken momentum away from us. That's happened in all three games. We feel like we've given up too many big plays in the passing game. That's happened in all three games. And then, you know, we've had penalties that we have to get cleaned up. And if we can continue to make strides in those three areas, I believe a great deal in the football team that we have right now.
As you look at where this team is right now, you know, approaching midseason, you've had a lot of adversity thrown at you already. You've already talked about the situation with the offensive line. But you got to the point in this game and you finished it. And, you know, this was the first time really that this team has a lot of these players that are new starters this year. This is the first time that they've experienced that finish it. You know, the been so close so many times. You know, if you go back to last season, several games, just one or two plays, you talk about it all the time, Coach. So how much do you think this Pike game might pay that dividend that the team has had this experience now making those big plays?
Yeah, I you know, to answer that question, I think it's going to come down to how desperate we are. You know, if we're going to go play desperate every Friday like we did when we had to go make those two plays, I certainly think we have an opportunity to learn from that, to learn from the positives on Friday night. When you look, you know, and you can look up and down our season right now, I felt like we battled and competed at Brownsburg. Certainly played a lot better in the second half than we did in the first half. Gave ourselves a chance to make enough plays at the end to win it. Came up short against Avon. We faced adversity at the end of the first half, the last 4 minutes of the first half, and felt like our guys kind of folded a little bit and didn't believe that we could go out in the second half and make any of that ground up. And then Friday, you know, we had a lead, gave it up, had a lead. And then all of a sudden we were in a fight, you know, and we had to go make a play, and we were fortunate enough to go make it. And so for us, you know, I think it's part of the evolution, you know, and you know, we were in games last year, didn't finish those games. We were in a, you know, in the game in week one and didn't finish it. And so for us, we're going to see how excuse me, we're going to see how desperate we want to play on Friday. And if we play with that same sense of desperation that we played with this past Friday, you know, it's certainly going to give us a chance to win down at Center Grove.
Well, obviously, you're going to hear the Giant rewind in a minute about how this game ended. Tremendous finish for the Giants. But if you go back to the end of that third quarter where Pike scores, they get a penalty, kind of gave them an opportunity to try an onside kick. They get that onside kick. And then a couple plays later, they score. So I think it was 18 seconds. You go from being in a 27-14 lead to being in a 28-27 deficit. What was the mood on the sidelines? How did that? How did the team respond to that? Obviously, we know how they ultimately responded, but how did you keep their heads up?
Well, you know, I think for us, it was our senior leadership. You know, when we talked to our guys on Thursday night, you know, we told them, and really the whole message came from Gary Brackett the Thursday night before Avon. He talked to our guys about 5 points, and the last of those 5 points was you need to expect adversity, and you need to expect to overcome it. And we talked openly about that Thursday night at practice. Like, at some point tomorrow night, we're going to have adversity. You know, we had adversity on our first offensive possession. We're running the ball, threw a bubble, running the ball, had some success in the quick passing game. Then all of a sudden we throw a pick six and instead of being up 7-0, we're down 7-0, you know. So, you know, for us, I felt like, you know, when we met as a coaching staff right before we talked to the kids for the last time before we took the field, my message to our coaching staff was we have to stay in our individual position groups. We have to stay in their ear about playing and winning the next play, because ultimately that's the one that's going to matter. And, you know, for us, I felt like our coaching staff just kept coaching, and I felt like our players just kept playing. Not once on Friday did I get the sense that our kids were out of it. And, you know, I think that speaks really to our senior leadership and really to the attitude and the grit that our team is starting to develop together.
The Giants have lost 6 straight games going back to last season and heading into last Friday night. So just how relieving overall feeling for you and the team was it to finally get that win and snap that streak?
You know, for us, we hadn't even talked about that streak, to be honest with you. I didn't even know that number was at 6, to be brutally honest. We talked to our guys last week about enjoying the opportunity and embracing the opportunity to wear the Ben Davis jersey, because there's a lot of people that have worn that jersey that have come before us that have worn it with a great deal of pride. Talk to our guys about what our program stands for and what they truly get an opportunity to represent day in and day out. And we wanted our guys to go play as hard as they could, as long as they could, and have fun doing it. And, you know, I think you saw a little bit of a different team Friday compared to the week before against Avon. And so, you know, we got to continue to work and get better every day and bring that same spirit and energy with us when we get on the bus to head to Center Grove Friday.
Defensively, 3 sacks in the game, 11 hurries, so you got a lot of pressure on Sidella. What was the strategy defensively against Pike?
You know, for us, we felt like we could control the line of scrimmage and dominate the run game. And then for us, so, you know, with that in mind, whether we were playing a 3-man front or a 4-man front, we felt like we could take away the run game and make them one-dimensional. And I'll be honest with you, we made him one-dimensional, and he stood in that pocket and delivered. And he was underneath, you know, he was under quite a bit of pressure all night. We got home a couple of times. We rushed some throws a couple of times. But you got to tip your hat to him, because he stood in there and delivered a couple of times as well. And so, you know, for us, we got to continue to grow. You know, and I feel like our secondary is a strength of ours. We got to get those guys locked in for 48 minutes, and that's something, you know, I'm sure, you know, you're going to talk to Capone about that here in a bit. But if we can get that group locked in for 48 minutes, that group paired with what our defensive line's doing right now, we certainly feel good about where we're at on that side of the ball.
So the Giants, like another area that the Giants struggled in was the turnover battle. He still was the interception thrown on your part. So how important is it to not lose that turnover battle, and what goes into making sure you guys secure the ball?
You know, when I played at Miami of Ohio, our head coach Randy Walker always talked to us about rushing yards, talked to us about winning the turnover battle, and talked to us about winning the time of possession. So, as long as football's been around, and that was a long time ago since I played, but you know, that turnover battle is critical every week, because those are ultimately going to lead to momentum and game changing plays, and they could be a part of that, you know, 4 or 5 plays that truly make the difference in the outcome of the game. And you know, for us, when you look at the interception that we threw, obviously it led directly to 7 points. Their corner made a good play on the ball. He jumped the route, and we didn't have a chance to go catch him. And so, you know, that we felt like that was a 14-point swing, you know, to be honest with you. And so, you know, for us, we just got to continue to dig. Our secondary is getting their hands on balls, and the more and more hands that they get on footballs, you know, we're going to start to convert some of those. You know, we talked to our defensive line about looking to cause fumbles when we do get pressure on the quarterback and we do get an opportunity to sack him. Can we knock that thing loose? But when you watch us practice defensively, our guys are constantly ripping at the football. So at some point, that ball is going to come out for us, and we're going to be able to start taking the thing away.
All right, that was our first segment there. Thanks, Coach, talking about the Pike game. Here, once again, you're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. When we come back, we will talk to Adrian Reese and Capone Powell, and you'll hear the exciting Giant rewind from the one-point victory that the Giants won last week against Pike. You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
I'm a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs.
Wi-Fi everywhere.
More playgrounds.
Oh, more ice cream trucks.
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org. Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I was very independent. I fell, and I had to have Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
One in six seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
It's time for the Giant Rewind. A look back at last week's game through the calls of WBDG's announcers.
Gibson, he's going to throw one here, and it's going to be complete for a touchdown, as the touchdown was actually caught by Donnell Mason, the 5'10 sophomore there. And Gibson's going to take it himself down the right side. He's going to try to get in there, and it's going to be called a touchdown for Trent Gibson and the Ben Davis Giants to go ahead 13-7 here.
Great job by the right side of the Ben Davis O-line. Got Gibson right into the end zone to push forward, and now Ben Davis has their first lead of the season as they take a 13-7 lead against Pike.
From the shotgun set, now Trent Gibson's going to take it on a keeper up the left side. He's going to go up the middle. He has a hole. He's inside the red zone. He's inside the 10-yard line. He's going to go towards the end zone, and Trent Gibson is going to score the 36-yard touchdown. That'll end the first half, but Ben Davis has the lead 20-14 here at halftime. Now it is going to be a touchdown run for the Giants, and Trent Gibson there on the play. Third and five now for Ben Davis out of the shotgun. And it's another handoff to Hassel. Hassel going to burst up the middle and score the touchdown to regain the lead for the Ben Davis Giants. That's a 9-yard touchdown run up the middle for Elijuan Hassel.
Hassel's been the guy to go to. Might be a two-point
As I think
conversion.
They are. They're going for the 18-yard two-point conversion here. Leading 33-28. Trent Gibson's going to throw it deep to Jaden Brown. And Jaden's going to come up with the catch. And Ben Davis now leads 35-28. Fourth down. This is the ball game. Four wide receiver set. Shotgun for Anthony Seidella. Will Allen to his right, telling the offensive line what the play is in the shotgun. And it's going to be snapped to Seidella. He's going to look back to throw. He's got a man, and it is caught in the end zone for Pike. Back of the end zone, it will be a touchdown for Pike. It's now 35-34.
They are going
for
two
now.
This is for the game right here.
They're playing an I-form pistol sort of set now with Will Allen in the backfield. I think all three of the running backs. It's going to be a pass. Seidella rolling out to the left side. He's going to be brought down, and the Ben Davis Giants win their first game of the season over the Pike Red Devils, 35-34. What an amazing play they're made by the Giants, and they come up victorious.
Safety number 7, Anil Boatwright on the play to win the game for Ben Davis and start the season 1-2, and Pike sadly goes to 0-3.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
You heard it right there, back here on Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. Now I'm here for this second segment here. We're talking to players Adrian Reese, wide receiver, and linebacker slash cornerback Capone Powell here. We're going to start here with you, Adrian, and kind of talked about it with Coach a little bit as well. Before last Friday, the Giants had lost 6 straight games going back to last year. So obviously you could feel that, despite whether or not you knew that it was that much. But how important and how happy and how uplifting was it to get that win on Friday night?
It felt very good. It felt very good to get that first win on Friday. Like Coach Simmons said, I don't think nobody really thought about the losing streak. Honestly, we were just focusing on that week and going 1-0, like he preached to us all week. And we're just going to use that, take forward through each week now.
So going towards this week, how do you see the Center Grove team, which kind of plays a game where they don't, as an offensive player, the Center Grove plays a game where they don't want the ball in the other team's hands, so they keep it as long as they can on their side. So how do you approach going into this week, knowing that, you know, you probably have to capitalize off of each opportunity, knowing you may not get that many?
Yeah, so Center Grove is one of them teams. They want to keep the ball out of the other team's hands. It's going to be a very disciplined game. We've got to be very disciplined. It's not going to be the most exciting game from a fan perspective. So, as players, we just can't get bored. We just got to keep doing what we're doing, focus on the little things. And offensively, we just got to take every opportunity that we get because we know we don't get many of them.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to go now to you, Capone. And you, in this 3-3-5 defense, you move around a lot. Sometimes you're almost all the way up in the line of scrimmage, and sometimes you're back way back playing in the secondary. So how do you fill in your role? How do you know what goes into knowing, like, to be in the right place at the right time?
For me, it's always talking before every play. Me and my team, we have to talk before every play so then we each know our role. Like, if so-and-so is playing this position, we have to know exactly what they're doing so that we can help coach each other up. Because there's a lot of young guys in our team. There's a lot of older guys in our team. Each person has to coach a player up. Me, personally, before each play, I know what I'm doing. But I have to make sure that my players are knowing what they're doing because I play a lot of different positions. So I have to know each and every position so I can play the best of my ability. So if I'm going down, I'm playing my role. If I'm going back, I'm playing my role, but I have to make sure my team is playing their role as well.
So as a senior leader on this team, how important and how do you really make sure your teammates are playing their right role and that the defense as a whole is just set where they need to be and how they need to be playing?
Like I said, we have to talk before each play. Like, let's say we're man coverage. I know who I'm getting, but let's say if I'm at safety or my corner has to know that he's manned up. We always have to talk before each play. By the end of a game, everybody should have lost their voice. Everybody should have no voice left because we should be yelling and screaming out who we have, what play, what coverage, everything. We should be able to talk through everything that we do.
So when someone, you know, isn't in the right spot, how as a leader, like you keep saying it, how do you make sure to hold them accountable and make sure that they use that experience to get better on the next play or the next coming plays?
If someone's not in the right spot, I let them know. I'm going to tell them straight how it is. You're in the right spot, but you know that you can do better than that. You know what you got to do. Just I keep talking to them. Even my players, even the D-line, they know what they have to do, but they hold us accountable in the secondary. If we mess up, they let us know. And if D-line mess up, we let them know. It's all about holding your teammates accountable. If they mess up, they mess up, but play the next play.
Yeah, definitely. So now, Adrian, and as a receiver, how do you, like, as the week goes on during practice, how do you make sure the timing is good on your routes and your connections with the QB so that's all right on Friday nights?
Yeah, so a lot of our offense is timing. So a lot of our pass plays is, like, 3 to 4 seconds. So from a receiver standpoint, like being a senior leader, playing, getting a lot of reps last year, playing and starting, it's just my job to help the receivers and being on the same page with Trent. So come game time, we're ready to go. And really, we rep a lot, honestly. All season, we was with Trent throwing before practice, before in morning. Like, anytime we got Trent throw, we threw. So we just trying to really just translate to the game and just keep getting better every day.
And do you feel, as an overall receiving core, do you feel like the timing and the connection is good between you guys and Trent Gibson, or is there still some room to improve?
Obviously, you can always get better, so we try and get better each day. Really just improve by the week, and like we know this week, just playing Center Grove, we got to be very disciplined, knowing what routes we run, knowing the coverages, just make sure we're on the same page because like I said earlier, like you said, we're not going to get a lot of chances on offense just because of the way their style of Center Grove plays, so we got to make every opportunity count. So when the ball comes our way, we just got to make plays.
So that sort of leads us to my next question is just how do you feel the Giants can attack the Center Grove defense?
Center Grove is really a base defense, so they run a 4-3. So really we probably won't see a lot of man unless we get in the goal line. It's going to be a lot of zone, so a lot of cover 2, cover 4. So really just working windows, being patient in the route, don't rush, and really just make sure we're on the same page with Trent. But I feel like offensively, in the pass game, that we could definitely improve, and helping with our running game is just we're gonna be straight for Friday.
What problems do you think that Trojan defense can possibly cause for your team?
Their defense very, very physical. I mean, they're very disciplined. I feel like their D line and linebackers are really their strengths to the defense. So I feel like we just gotta. Perimeter-wise with the receivers, we got to make sure our blocking angle is right because the linebackers are very physical, probably the best part of the defense. They tackle, so we just got to do our best job open field-wise. Once we get the ball in open field, we got to make miss because as a whole, they attack the ball very well.
Yeah, and Capone, going back to you and that ending of the Pike game, what's going through your head? You talked about communication and make sure everyone's being in the right spot before play. So before that final two-point conversion that was going to make or break the game, what was going through your head and what was going on in the huddle before that play?
Before that play, I promise if you can watch the play, everyone was yelling, everyone was saying who they had, this man's on the line, this man's off the line. And even before the play even began, when we went to the huddle, coaches were coaching us up. They were letting us know, stay to it. This is your play. It's a make or break right now. This is the end of the game. You have to make a play. Like Coach comes down to those so-and-so plays that you have to make, and you can't take a play off. And this was a play that we couldn't take off. And before the play, we played the best that we could. So it was all about making that play.
And so Center Grove plays a very challenging and a lot of misdirection involved in the wing T offense they play. So how are the Giants preparing to go up against that?
Even if you look back last year, they played an entire offense that you probably won't see through the entire mix. Like, they have a set offense that they run. So we always have a set defense that we run when we go against them. Even this year, they lost their running back, Carson Steele, so they had to switch up their entire offense a little bit. So like we said, we have to switch up how we play. When we play a team, we focus on that week, and we focus how we play. And it doesn't matter who we play. We're always going to play the best of our ability. We have to come out and make plays just like it's usual.
So what part or what schematically are you switching up in order to counter that Center Grove running game in the offense?
We take players off. We take players that we know are going to read a play. Like, let's say we play a fire in abandoned play. We have to take a fire off because we know that they're going to run a certain way. They love jet sweeps. They love the misdirection, like you said. So we have to put players where they're going to play the best of their ability.
So what is one area that you feel is crucial for the Giants defense to control or be able to do better than Center Grove can do in order to win on Friday night?
Playing discipline. This game is going to be all about discipline. Like my teammate Adrian Reese said, it's all going to be about discipline. This is probably the most disciplined game that we're probably going to face. So when I say that, it's about setting the edge. It's about knowing your role. If a person going outside, the person that's setting the edge has to set the edge. He has to play his role. Person going inside, he has to push it so that him and his teammates can make plays. We have to make tackles. We have to make plays on the ball.
Okay, so this is the question I've asked all the players that have come on here this year. You know, this is week four now. So, and this is for both of you. So who is your favorite player and why?
What do you mean, like on our team?
No. Who is your favorite football player, just in general?
You go first.
Nah, I got to think about it.
My favorite player right now, I would say it got to be like, so since I'm a small guy and I play receiver, so I would probably say Marquise Hollywood Brown that played for the Ravens. He about my size. We're not the biggest, we're not the strongest, right, but fast, quick, get up and make plays. So I watch him a lot, and I watch a lot of other small receivers in the league, like Julian Edelman, Tyreek Hill, T.Y., players like that. So just make me motivate. And, like, if they can do it, I know I can do it too.
Yeah, definitely. What about you, Capone?
I had to think about it because it was between two players right now. And they're not even – it was Randy Moss and Troy Polamalu. But I think I'm going to have to say Troy Polamalu because if you know how I play, I love physical play. I like getting to the ball. I like being able to say, yeah, I made that play. I like making every single play. And Troy Polamalu did this, that. He was a patient player. He was a person that – went when he knew that he had to make the play. He knew that when he had to make the play, and I just love his physical type of play.
Yes, those are good answers there. They both chose some good players, some interesting players definitely as well. Well, thank you guys for coming on, and good luck on Friday against Center Grove.
Thank you.
That was Capone Powell and Adrian Reese here on Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. We're going to come back and talk once again to Coach Simmons about what the Giants need to do to win this Friday at Center Grove against the Trojans. 1 minute break on the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
My name is Lola Silvestri, and I'm going to be 95 this year. I was very independent. I fell, and I had to have Meals on Wheels. America, let's do lunch.
health. 1 in 6 seniors faces the threat of hunger, and millions more live in isolation. Drop off a hot meal and say a quick hello. Volunteer for Meals on Wheels by donating your lunch break at americaletsdolunch.org. This message brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
I'm a volunteer at United Way. I'm asking people around the neighborhood what they think this place needs.
Wi-Fi everywhere.
More playgrounds.
Oh, more ice cream trucks.
I was thinking more money in the pockets of local families come tax time.
Can I change my answer?
I was just kidding about the ice cream.
When it comes to getting better tax refunds into the hands of local families, what this place needs is you. To donate or volunteer, go to unitedway.org. Because great things happen when we live united. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
You heard it right there. Back here on Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network. Back with WBDG General Manager John Easter and Ben Davis Head Football Coach. I'm Zion Brown, and now we're going to talk here about the Center Grove game coming up this week. And Coach Simmons, the Giants lost the one touchdown game last year versus Center Grove. So what differences do you see from this year's matchup, from last year's matchup going into this year?
Yeah, I think when you look at Center Grove right now on paper, or you turn the film on and look at them, the one glaring thing that stands out to you is offensively, their ball distribution is better than it's been the last 2 years. You know, they've had a bell cow in Carson Steele carry the load, whether it's 20, 25, 30, 35 times a game. And, you know, without him, they're spreading the football around, which makes them really, I think, harder to defend. You know, you don't have an idea of who's getting the ball before the ball's ever snapped. So I think they're going to be tougher to defend offensively. Their offense will be. And when you look at them defensively, they have a long, active defensive line that I think is pretty daggone good. You know, they have two guys that they like to play to the field, and Caden Curry and Austin Booker, who are long, very disruptive defensive linemen. You look at them in the second level, they have a couple of starters back at the linebacker level. And then you look at their secondary, and they don't have a ton of experience, but they're very disciplined and they're very sound. You know, they're always in the right spot when you watch them on film. And so when you look at them, they're a disciplined, well-oiled team. You know, the thing we've talked to our guys about is, you know, we can't look at their record and say, well, they're 0-3. Well, it's easy to say that, but when you look at the three teams they've played, 95% of the state of Indiana would be 0-3 playing those three teams. And so for us, we have to look at the product that's on film and get prepared for that product and not worry about anything else. And so that's kind of been our message here through the first two days of the week, plus Saturday when we were with our guys, just making sure that we take care of getting us better and taking care of preparing for what we see on film.
Any discussion of Center Grove certainly has to include the man who has his play sheet always tied around his neck there, and that's Coach Moore. When you see him on the sidelines, he's always got the play sheet hanging right there. It's one of his many trademarks, and I think fair to say quirks. Certainly he's running an offense that at one time everyone in the state seemed to be running. Now fewer and fewer teams run the wing tee. But as we've talked about several times with Coach Dullahan and Coach Allen and Coach Kirshner and now Coach Simmons, just how much different is this wing tee offense and what you typically see?
Yeah, from what we typically see, they're the one team in our league right now. Now that Lawrence North has kind of transitioned out of it, they're the one team in our league. So it makes a very unique prep, you know. And there's a couple areas that make it unique. You know, one for us, we don't carry a tight end on our roster, and so when we get into weeks where we're playing teams that have a tight end H-back guy, you know, we certainly have to start shuffling people around to make sure that we give our defense a good look in that regard. But also, you have to have a volume. You know, it takes some time to get a good look at it. And for us, you know, we've taken our look teams out early Monday and Tuesday of this week just so they could get full speed reps at running this offense. So when it comes time to run it versus our defense, we're not fumbling, we're not wasting a rep, we're not putting the ball on the ground. And so, you know, there's a couple of different ways you can prepare for this offense. One of them is to take the ball completely out of the drill. You know, to where you can check the discipline of every player defensively and not worry about who's getting the ball and trying to find the ball. And then all of a sudden you get into a game on Friday and that misdirection element beats you. You know, so for us, we will take the back tomorrow. We're going to take the ball out of it, and whether they're faking it here or giving it here, you know, every piece of our defense is going to be secured. And is going to be evaluated for people doing their job. And so it is a unique offense. He knows it like the back of his hand. I'm not even quite sure he needs that call sheet, to be honest with you. You know, when you look at how fluid he is in adjusting that offense and finding the hole and getting the ball where it needs to get to, he's got that offense down.
Well, and there's one thing about that offense, too. They run it from peewee all the way up to the high school. I mean, it's the same offense. It's the same blocking schemes. I mean, everything is ingrained, really, in those young people there at Center Grove. So you mentioned it's like a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, definitely. And you mentioned how star running back for Center Grove, Carson Steele, won't be playing. He's been out pretty much the whole season so far. So, but they still have an effective rushing attack, and you mentioned that. So how will your defense have to step up and stop that wing tee and that misdirection and the things that they bring offensively running the ball?
You know, we feel like our defensive line is going to have their hands full this week. You know, I think when you turn the Center Grove film on and you look at them, their strength in their offensive line is their inside three guys. Their two guards are really good. You watch them pull, you watch them block in space. They do a really good job with that. Their center is also a very good football player as well. And so, you know, for us, we have to try and neutralize and control those inside three guys, we feel like, for two reasons. One, you know, we feel like that's a strength for us. But two, we also have to keep our linebackers clean so they can get downhill and fill. I think the other part of it too is you have to be sound and you have to be disciplined. You know, we can't be out there chasing squirrels. You know, if I'm a B gap fill player, then I get a run read, I have to go be a B gap fill player. I can't guess. I can't try and chase something that's not there. And so for us, we have to preach being gap sound. We have to make sure that we understand where our role is and where our fit is in each defensive front that we're going to use. And then we have to be aggressive and make plays in the hole because those opportunities are going to come. You look at the Warren game that we traded with them. You look at the New Pal game that we traded with them. You look at the Carmel game that we traded with them. And in all three of those games, people have been in a position to make plays in the holes, and they've made some and they've missed some. And so, you know, for us, we're going to have a lot of discipline and finishing plays, and we're going to have to be consistent to try and slow the run game down.
Coach, when you look at Center Grove, too, defensively, they've played three very, very good football teams, and they haven't given up many points yet to those three football teams. If you know anything about New Palestine, they like to, you know, put 70 on the board. It's nothing for them to do that. They have one of the state's greatest running backs of all time, and Center Grove held them under 30. So that was certainly a big feather in their cap. So offensively, what are the Giants going to look to do against that Center Grove defense?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the same story that we had last week against Pike. We have to be willing to take what they give us. And, you know, and their discipline defensively gives you a good idea of where they're going to be. And so we have to try and use that against them if we can, if that's possible. We can't get greedy. You know, if we get a 5-yard run, we have to be happy with the 5-yard run. If we get a 2-yard run, we can't hang our head because there's an opportunity to go get a 5 or 6-yard run on the next play. And, you know, we have to find a way to spread the football around and force them to defend, you know, every one of our skill guys that's on the field. We feel like we have a plan to go spread the ball from, you know, from sideline to sideline and try and get them playing sideways so then we can try and get vertical. Insulate our offensive line with the run game. You know, I feel like those guys are starting to come around, you know, especially inserting some new guys that didn't necessarily play early in week one and week two. You know, and we have to be patient. You know, they're not going to give up chunk plays. You can look at it up and down the board. You don't see that 50-yard, 60-yard run against them. It does not happen. You don't see 35, 40-yard pass plays against them. It doesn't happen. And so we have to be willing to take what they give us. We have to be patient. And then, you know, it comes down to our points of emphasis that we've had for 4 weeks now with our guys in terms of being disciplined and being consistent. We got to string plays together and stack plays together.
Well, and when you talk about Coach Moore and Center Grove, they did play Ben Davis to a 4-3 game one time. So
I was a part of that game.
Yeah, there will be no shame if it's a 4-3 game as long as we have the four like we did in that game.
Yeah, no question. That was my first year here in 2006, and that was one of those unique games that you just don't forget. And you know, we've had instances over the years, 2006, 7, and 8. You know, where we were able to score some points and we were able to do some things, and they had really good defenses during those runs. And, you know, I remember 2008 going there in the semi-state and got behind early, and really we ran two different offenses against them. You know, we lined and did what we had success with in the tournament run, sitting in two backs and two tight ends, and then came out the second half and we were down 14 points or 21 points and started slinging it all over the yard with Greg Rice. And so it was kind of a tale of two halves for us down there in terms of offensive systems. But you do have to be disciplined. You do have to take what they give you. And then, you know, when the day's over, we're going to look up at the scoreboard and see where we're at.
Coach Delahan called that game with us, and he was like, we're 4-3, and it's like in the bottom of the fifth.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, your offense last week scored a total of 5 touchdowns, 4 of those by Trent Gibson. So how can you look to keep that going against Center Grove and throughout the whole rest of the season, because they had struggled before then?
You know, it felt like we had offensive success last week because we just took what they gave us. You know, you can ask all of our offensive skill guys. You know, they were selfless last week. You know, our offensive line was selfless, and they just kept digging. Felt like our skill kids just maximized the opportunities they had when the ball came to them, which certainly gave us an opportunity for success and gave us, you know, and set us up to be able to score 35. And you look at it, our ball distribution, you know, we had, I think, 6 or 7 different guys get their hands on the ball and go make a play with it. Certainly Adrian did early in the game, kind of got us a big first down early, got us out of the gate on the bubble route, came back and made another nice catch later on. We got the ball to Dalen a couple of different times, got the ball to AJ, Trez, and Trent. And so we were able to get the ball moved around a little bit, which I think helps us. But, you know, I felt like our tempo helped us last week too offensively. We were able to push tempo at times, and that's really the first time that I felt like we had our foot on the gas from a tempo standpoint consistently throughout. And, you know, I think that's when our offense can start to get into a rhythm and be at its best. In order for us to play at that tempo, though, we got to be able to go get first downs. It doesn't do us any good to play at you know, with a bunch of tempo if we're not going to go get first downs.
I wanted to ask you, Coach, about something that affected the Week 5 opponent, Warren Central. Obviously, they lost a legend over on the east side, Coach Larry Willen, who had been at Warren since 1964, was coaching all the way up until last year, passed away. Any reaction to that, Coach?
Yeah, you know, when you've been in this rivalry with Ben Davis and Warren, you're going to know who Larry Willen is. You know, my mom's side of the family grew up on the east side. My uncle went to Warren Central. And so obviously I've known that name for a long time. You know, I spent some time with Lance Scheib up at Noblesville, was a Warren Central grad. And so, you know, he and I walked before school in the 5 walking, and you know, he started talking about the impact Coach Willen had on him. And then, you know, I have some other friends that were certainly impacted by him and coached by him. But, you know, when you see a spirit and you see how the players respond and you see how the coaches respond, you know, he's one of those guys that's been around the game for a long, long time. He's meant a lot to a lot of people. And when you get people like that in your program, you know they're invaluable. And it's not so much for what they do on the field, but as much as what they do for kids and how they make kids feel and the impact that they have on them. And so, you know, Coach Willen is a guy that I've met a couple different times over the years, and whether we were successful against Warren or not, he never changed after the game. You know, he's a first-class person, and, you know, I'm sure that program is going to support his family and rally around him and use that as a motivating cause for them as they move through the season.
The cool thing this season, Warren's going to be wearing, he was famous for that Bumblebee shirt.
That's right.
That he would wear when he would coach. And they're going to wear that W with the Bumblebee sticker on the side of their helmet. That's pretty cool.
It is. It truly is.
All right, wrapping it up here. Just going into the Center Grove game, now you've got your first win of the season under your belt, but what is just one key area that you feel like overall offense, defense, special teams, one very specific part of the team that you feel like needs to be successful and needs to control the game in order to win on Friday night.
Yeah, I think for us, we've had 3 points of emphasis for our football team this week, Zion, to be honest with you. We've talked about discipline. We've talked about consistency. But I think the third piece is probably the answer to your question. And we want to win the battle of the initial movement, whether we're on the perimeter. We got to get into a spot that helps our passing game timing and our passing game rhythm, whether we're in the box, and we got to win the takeoff on the offensive line or defensive line, or whether it's on special teams, and we got to win the battle of initial movement. You know, I think that it sounds so general, but yet, when we talk to our kids about it, we truly want to win the battle of initial movement and make sure that we put ourselves in a position to match their discipline and take advantage of where we know they're going to be.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Coach Simmons, for that. Once again, Ben Davis will play at Center Grove. Kickoff at 7 here on WBDG Friday night. Coverage with the rewind of this. Ben Davis football at 6. You've been listening. Thanks to Adrian Reese and Capone Powell as well for joining the show today. You've been listening to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by the ISC Sports Network.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.